and welcome to another episode of Radio War Nerd, a sort of happy emergency episode, which is pretty unusual for us. The day today is April 8th, 2026. Happy if you're not Netanyahu and Trump, I guess. And this is episode 596. I am the co-host, Mark Ames, in Western New York. You're listening to Radio War Nerd. Subscribe, please, and support the show. Go to patreon.com/Radio War Nerd, one word. And I'm on the line, of course, with the War Nerd, John Dolan, a.k.a. Gary Brecher in Southern Italy. So, John, you know, it's the cliffhanger resolved 90 minutes
before. I woke up and it was Christmas morning, only the world hadn't ended. Yes. And it was a pretty happy Christmas morning for me. Somebody in the administration had an attack of belated common sense and called the apocalypse off.
Yeah, so real briefly, 90 minutes before Trump's threat to exterminate Iran as a country, as a state, as a people, as a civilization, as he wrote, he capitulated. There's no other word to put it.
Yeah.
It was a full capitulation. And, you know, yesterday when we left the cliffhanger, we didn't see a way out of this because it would have required one side or the other to capitulate. And it seemed extremely unlikely that either side would capitulate. I mean, the Iranians had a 10-point plan, which it called for total U.S. capitulation, and Trump had a 15-point plan, which called for a complete Iranian and its allies capitulation. And what do you know? Trump capitulated.
Yeah.
Madman theory went down in flames. It's the end of Madman theory.
Well, he wasn't doing it right anyway.
No.
I mean, you have to have a little room in there. And he and the Iranians had both reduced the room to a simple binary. You either flip the switch or you don't. And there's not much room for madman there.
Yeah. So according to the agreement, which was worked out in Pakistan, and tomorrow we're going to have an excellent guest on to talk more about Pakistan and even how it wound up in this role and so on and so forth. Anyways, the 10-point plan that Iran says was agreed to, that Trump said he agreed to, Trump's already kind of, as is Trump, now calling it the 15-point plan this morning.
But anyway, yeah, it was always 15 points on the U.S. side, but they pretty much dropped whatever the other five were and just went with
Well, no,
10.
I think what happened was everybody understood what the 10-point plan was. Lift, and so he, it was almost like Trump's initial tweet announcement reminds me of when somebody is found basically guilty for libel or defamation, and they have to post on Twitter this like lawyer written apology, and I'm deeply sorry, and this was wrong, and so on. That's kind of like, it was like Trump had to show the bona fides. He had to openly admit that he accepted the 10-point plan, which is total capitulation, lifting of all the sanctions, continued Iranian control over the Strait of Hormuz, U.S. military withdrawal.
Okay, that's the one I don't understand. How could he even, more to the point, how could the Iranian leadership have thought even for a second that he meant U.S. military withdrawal from the Middle East?
They don't think so, but he accepted the plan. I mean, they've already said openly, we accept this. We know that America's perfidious and, you know, what they've done.
But it kind of is.
Yeah, it is, I know. I mean, white man speak with forked tongue is absolutely true. When Trump capitulates, you do have to then accept the capitulation, right? And obviously keep everything warm and make sure you're not exposing your leadership and do all the things where you make sure that you're ready for things to start up again. because you assume that they will. But you have to accept it. And the Chinese leaned on them hard, apparently. And, you know, a lot of states leaned on them hard. And, you know, that I mean, Iran did suffer a lot, not just all the girls that were killed and all the people killed, but, you know, their steel industry, which is kind of the heart of their whole autarkic industrial base, was pretty well leveled. And that was a big blow. And they took other blows as well. So although they would have, you know, carried on, they were hurting. And so if they capitulate, why wouldn't you accept it? Anyway, non-aggression, U.S. commits guaranteeing non-aggression. Yeah, guarantee from Trump. What else do we have here? Yeah, Iran can still enrich uranium for its nuclear program. Yeah. And I would assume that if something is going to be up for some kind of hard bargaining, if the U.S. shows it's serious about this, I would assume they would be willing to do some bargaining on that. But we'll see. I mean, if they
remove— Well, I think the strange thing, or one of the strange things about the nuclear deals with Iran, is that even among hardliners in the U.S., there's pretty much been acceptance that in nuclear negotiations, at least, the Iranians play fair.
Yeah.
And they do what they'll say, what they've said they'll do.
Yes. Yeah, I think what the people who opposed it, they opposed it because of Obama, that Obama had done it, and they thought the deal was a bad deal. Yeah, most people do not say it's because the Iranians were flaunting it. They just thought it was a bad deal. Right, some of the fallout from this. So, you know, Trump, of course, I mean, you have some people calling him Taco, which is really stupid. I don't know why the Democrats, there are Democrats taunting him. I mean, there are others.
Well, because there are Schumer Democrats. Yes. You know, as we saw in that piece from Drop Site, Schumer has been playing a sleazy, cowardly game and hoping to get Trump implicated in the most embarrassing aspect of the kinetic war while standing back and just hoping that Iran gets destroyed while making Trump embarrassed. And that's all they hoped.
Yeah. In other words, the centrist wing of the Democrats, which, you know, despite what's going on the margins, is still absolutely in control of the Democratic Party, supports the war. I mean, they support it behind the scenes, as you say. Like, they want Iran to be destroyed. They don't want to take the heat for it. They're happy to see Trump take all the kind of political damage from it. So it's kind of a twofer for them. Yeah, for Netanyahu, you know, this is one thing I would say I definitely did not foresee, because I didn't think it would end this way. I thought the Israelis were poised to come out of this war, whatever happened, kind of the best of all the parties, because they got America in, and it seemed like America was going to be stuck in this war. They may yet be for many, many months or years, and that's what Israel wants. Ending this way is a disaster for Netanyahu. Here's somebody who, you know, there's that New York Times article about how Netanyahu came in with his PowerPoints and his videos and everything and convinced Trump that his magic would work on Iran. I mean, this guy who, you know, after the incredible failure of Netanyahu's part and the IDF's part and Mossad on October 7th, he had built up a lot of political capital again, incredibly, in Israel. And he's still popular because of taking out Nasrallah. You know, before this war, before this version, he was riding pretty high. And it's one of those things where you talk about, again, John, you know, success is a terrible teacher. So he thought, well, you know, I'm winning at the tables. Let's stay a little bit longer. The way it is right now, he's getting absolutely pilloried. The Israelis are
furious. Israeli discourse is not light. No. When they have someone like on the murder table, they go for it.
Yeah, they are furious. They're furious at Netanyahu. They're furious at Trump. Somebody from Ben-Gvir's party, he's a top figure in the Knesset, tweeted out, said, "Donald, you ducked," and then had to delete it later. I mean, they're so angry because from their point of view, they thought, well, okay, like the Israelis have never experienced something like what they experienced the last, you know, roughly 40 days, which is endless barrages. If you talk to anybody who's in Israel, they'll tell you, Ori Goldberg, you know, who was a guest on our show, another person who's a friend of my wife's, like they're constantly in their bomb room, if they have one in their apartment or building or in the basement or bomb shelters, nonstop. And I think the Israelis, you know, post October 7th, the Israelis got a lot more murderous and a lot more also willing to take pain so long as the other side was getting genocided. And so their attitude is, I just spent 40 days in a shelter and watched all this for absolutely nothing. They are furious. Yeah, and
they're also offended, it seems, by many new developments that hint that power has passed from Israel to the U.S., like the fact that Netanyahu only speaks in his official decrees in English now. Because Netanyahu, if I recall, spent most of his youth in the U.S. and he's genuinely bilingual.
Yeah, and sleeping in Jared Kushner's bedroom, let's not forget.
Yeah,
it's also a humiliation that Trump didn't even invite them, the Israelis, to the talks, and they're pissed about that. So, you know, they're kind of feeling what Americans have felt. America got dragged into the war by Israel and had no say over it, but Israel just had a real major strategic defeat dealt to it by a foreign country, and it had no input into it. How does that feel?
Yeah.
So in the meantime, already this morning, there have been violations of the ceasefire, let's say. Like it's holding in structure, but it is, and I expect this to be the case for a while, it is, you know, it's got a lot of holes in it. Iran has bombed several facilities in the Gulf. They bombed the Habsan gas facility, the UAE. They bombed Kuwaiti power plants and desalination facilities. I think all of these were drones. A pumping station and that key east-west oil pipeline, the Saudi pipeline, that takes their oil away from, so that it doesn't have to go through Hormuz and instead goes out to the Red Sea. Somebody bombed oil facilities in Iran and one of the islands in the Gulf. And the Israelis said they didn't do it. And everybody lies, but it is possible that the UAE might have done it. The UAE is another big loser here. They're furious, jumping up and down. Like they didn't get invited to Pakistan for this because Pakistan's close to the Saudis. No one paid attention to them. And like if any country's kind of whole, I don't know, brand is destroyed more than anybody else's, it's really the UAE's. It is no longer ever going to be considered, I mean, short of putting the Shah back on the throne, it's just not going to be considered this safe haven anymore. And they know it, and they're furious. And the Israelis are furious. They have unleashed, just in the last hour or two, the biggest bombing campaign on Lebanon, certainly of this particular war this year, but maybe in many years.
And this is typical of powers that are thwarted in an attack on their main target. They go to a weaker target and tear it apart.
Yep. They've even named it. And this to me shows frustration and weakness and meatheadedness. But the Israelis have named this operation. Now, they said they're not going to stop until somebody makes them, is what I think one of their spokespeople said.
Operation Make Us.
Yeah, no, it's called Operation Eternal Darkness.
Oh,
there's such a Hexethian.
Yeah, there is. I mean, everybody's got this Paradise Lost diction all of a sudden. Mm-hmm.
So just before we recorded this, spokesperson for the Iranian national security. One of their spokesmen says, and I'll just quote it here, in response to the savage Zionist aggression against Lebanon, because part of the ceasefire yesterday that the Pakistani prime minister announced was cessation of hostilities in Lebanon. And Netanyahu publicly said he accepted Trump's ceasefire, but he was very sullen about it. And then there's today, of course, they're saying, no, we don't have to stop in Lebanon. That's not part of it. So the Iranians said here in response to that, the passage of ships in the Strait of Hormuz must be halted right now. And with a heavy and decisive strike, we must prevent the rabid dogs and the cancerous tumor of the region from their sabotage. The Lebanese sacrificed their lives for us, and we must not leave them alone for a moment. Ceasefire either on all fronts or on no fronts. So
yeah, I mean, the regime in Tehran has always been pretty tight with the Shia in southern Lebanon. I mean, they've been sending missionaries to that area for most of the past century. Mm-hmm. And they sent their best. And one of whom was eventually killed in Libya in weird circumstances decades ago. But there's a tight connection there, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, we don't want to go too long on this. I don't know if you wanted to say a quick word, though, about the article, the other article that came out yesterday, which I kind of feel like might have had a little bit to do also with persuading Trump to call it off. I mean, Trump capitulated because the world was hurting too much, and everybody with money, which is all that matters to Trump, was calling him, saying, basically, if you carry out your threat. I mean, he issued these increasingly shrill threats, thinking threats would break the Iranians, and it didn't break them. So then then he had two choices: carry it out and completely tank the global economy and his presidency and everything else, or capitulate and maybe wing something. And so he capitulated. But there was that article, the big article, how Trump went to war, you know, which we talked about, which Netanyahu, you know, kept, you know, running around the White House.
That one reminded me very much of Dune, as staged by the NYT.
Yeah.
Netanyahu enters in a black limo along with his aides. And there are these people in big black robes, and they deploy all along one wall, and Trump deploys along the other wall. And so what? I mean, you know, when there's a meathead like Trump, in your words, and somebody, Netanyahu is not exactly a meathead, but he's not a very interesting character either.
No.
You can't do this Cuban Missile Crisis cinematography again. Yeah. It only works once.
Yeah. I think a couple takeaways for me is that it looks to me, and I wonder if it looks this way to Trump, who always looks at the angles of everything, and he is obsessed with the New York Times, despite, you know, hating them, well, both hating them and being obsessed with them, is that when you read between the lines of this, all of the major players had their people going to New York Times reporters and saying, I tried to tell them no. They're all realized this thing is a disaster, and they were all, you know, trying to save their asses, cover their asses, and blame it on Trump. And that's probably, you know, largely true to one degree or another that this was Trump, but they're certainly doing major ass covering, and that message would get to Trump, that even his tightest circle are all saying, I basically, like, Ash, I never even met this asshole. You know?
I think Trump probably likes being the big man, and that includes grumbling and backbiting, but there's a limit to it. And he seems to have felt it. It got through his armor, and he's mad about it now.
Yeah, and the only other takeaway from it, the one that'll stick with me, and it really confirms some of, you know, what we had thought about Trump as being crazy in the way of drunk with success and power crazy, plus, you know, throwing some dementia. But Tucker Carlson constantly trying to talk Trump out of this, and Trump, who's off in the clouds of his own world of, you know, I can do things that nobody has ever been able to do. And Trump finally saying, I know you're worried about it, to Tucker, but it's going to be okay. And Carlson asks, how do you know it's going to be okay? And quote, Trump says, quote, because it always is. That is like, that's somebody who is not with us in this planet, you know? So I think to wrap it up, we don't want to go too long on this. I think we should celebrate.
Yeah.
You know?
The win.
Yeah. Take the win. We'll take it. And let's just end it off there on that happy note for now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Thanks, John. All right. Thanks, Brandon. Thanks, everybody.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.